Tuesday.
It's Tuesday morning at 7:30. Let's get the news headlines now from Donal Kavanagh. Good morning, Donal.
Thank you, John. Good morning. The North's Deputy First Minister says police have warned him of a dissident Republican threat to his life. Martin McGuinness has been told a group calling itself the Continuity IRA is threatening to kill him in a rocket attack. In a statement, Mr. McGuinness says he will not be silenced or deterred by threats to his life. There are calls for a review of Donegal County Council's winter gritting programme with claims that many important routes in the county are excluded. The issue has been raised by Councillor John O'Donnell, who highlighted a number of areas in Letterkenny and its surroundings that he believes should be treated when temperatures drop. He's welcomed the council executive agreeing to hold a workshop on the issue. There are calls for the return of the Garda Dedicated Drugs Unit with claims the use of illegal substances is rampant across Donegal. The units were either removed or downgraded in the county over the last number of years. Councillor Rena Donaghy wants their return, saying they were very effective. And younger people are being warned of the dangers of sharing content online. It's Safer Internet Day, and organisations including Spunout.ie are raising awareness of the pitfalls of sharing information online.
Island Breakfast at 22 minutes to 8. Our text number is 086-77-00-555. You'll find us on Facebook at Highland Breakfast, or you can give us a call 074-91-25000. Some local music now. Here's a Killy Beggs duo. They're called Little Hours, and they're causing quite a stir at the moment. Really because they are the outsiders, if you like, in the Meteor Awards. They've been nominated for Song of the Year, but they're up against some serious competition in the form of Codaline, The Scripts, De Laurentiis, Hozier and Sinead O'Connor. If you'd like to vote for them, just go to meteor.ie/choice. But have a listen to the song anyhow. This is Little Hours. It's still love.
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I will need it.
But 37% of the 15 to 16 year old who are interviewed admitted seeing something that they wished they hadn't online. Well, there's plenty of advice for parents, but of course for young children and teenagers, it's a bit more of a minefield, and they might not be aware of the dangers as well. And there's a lot of, you know, questions being asked about whether they should be monitored. There's apps out there that you can monitor what young children or teenagers or whatever are doing on their smartphones and devices. Well, Catherine went out yesterday to actually chat to some young people and to find out some more about internet usage and about their attitudes to the whole thing.
I'm 16 and I don't think the internet poses a threat to me personally, but I know that it could to people that are more vulnerable online.
I'm 14 and I do think that the internet can pose a threat if you're not careful and you are sure of what you're posting.
First of all, I'm 17 years old, and personally I don't think it poses much of a threat. I think it's more beneficial to me than it is Brett. Like in here in school, just yesterday I submitted an essay through email, and this morning it was corrected in my inbox. Like, so it is really, really useful. The other side of that, I can see why so many people think it does pose a threat to teenagers, particularly young teenagers, like first year, second years, where maybe they have a little less, they're not as like grown up, I suppose, so they're not as controlled maybe as they probably should be on the internet, so they kind of don't think of the consequences, really. Like, if they're commenting on something or uploading a picture or asking something on Ask FM, like, they're really just, they're thinking about the now, and they can't see a day, a week, a year, a few years down the line. Like, even if they're trying to get a job, can really affect that. So there are a lot of sides to it, but I'd say it's more beneficial for me, but it definitely, I can see the two sides to the story.
I'm 13 and I don't think the internet poses a threat to me, but if used not properly, it can pose a threat to people.
I'm 16 years old and I think there is a lot of danger, and the internet does kind of pose a threat, but because of the advantages involved, like with emails, and then you can put things up on Google Drive if you're part of a team, or even working with school and sending homework in, or even like this year we're using MyTY, so you put all your work from school onto an actual portfolio that's online. But then, like, when you look at the bad things that happen, like cyberbullying, places like Ask FM, or even the photos that go up without your permission on Facebook and Twitter and things like that, you can definitely see it, because when employers go up there, like, looking at stuff from your history and all that, it'll stay up there because it's on there forever now.
I'm 14 and I think the internet could pose a threat to everyone if they don't use.
You're very welcome back. Now, researchers are looking to match DNA from a Donegal family with a mystery
soldier killed in action, an Australian soldier killed in action during the First World War. To tell us more, we've got voluntary genealogist Marg O'Leary on the line. Marg, hello to you.
Oh, hello, Sean.
Thanks for joining us. And you. Tell us about this soldier, first of all. Who was he?
His name is Joseph Curran, and his grandparents came to Australia in 1864. So he was just one of many, many people who went to war. And in 1916, the Battle of Fromelles, I don't know if you've heard of that one. It's around July 1916. Thousands were killed. And he was one of 250 Australians that the Germans buried the next day. And that grave stayed there, a mass grave, for nearly 100 years. And they dug it up in 2008, the archaeologists. And Joseph's name was on the list that the Germans gave that said he was definitely in that grave. So of that 250 that were dug up, they took their DNA and they reburied them in a lovely new cemetery at Fromelles. But because they took their DNA, thousands of people came forward, you know, relatives at first. But out of the 250, 144 have been identified through their DNA. So Joseph's one of the ones that we're sticking on, you know. It's quite difficult to find him. But his family came from Crossroads, that's Falkara, mm-hmm. as far as I don't know if that's how you pronounce it,
yeah.
in Donegal. And Michael Curran and Anne Dugan, they were, and they came to Australia in 1864. They had quite a family, but unfortunately Anne died in childbirth in 1871, and the little family that they had scattered. So we've not been able to find any of them in Australia. We don't know what happened to the children after she died, other than the one daughter, Catherine, who's the mother of the soldier. So what we need is, so we can't find any DNA in Australia to identify Joseph, but we hope that back in Crossroads, there may be Curran or Dugan family still there who may be connecting people. It's the mother's DNA we're after, so we're actually looking at the Dugan family going back. And all I know about Anne Dugan is that she... Her father's name was Michael and her mother's name was Bridget.
And why the mothers?
Because we do get two sorts of DNA. One's the male side, so it's father's father's father.
Right.
And the other's the female side, mother's mother's mother. So the army really needs both of those together to be assured of the person they're identifying. So, and particularly in... Joseph's case, he was an illegitimate child, so we can't be sure of the father. Because there was a court case about it, we have a father's name, and we've actually followed that family in Australia down to some very surprised people, obviously.
You track them down.
About it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've tracked down the descendants. It's always hard to find living people because, you know, they scatter all over the place.
Yeah.
But we have found a descendant on that side. So we have already got the male side. What we need is the female side.
Okay. Just give us the names again that are key to this.
The key to it is the married couple, Michael Curran and Anne Dugan, who came to Australia in 1864. And then Anne's parents, as far as we know, are Michael Dugan and Bridget. We don't know her other name.
Okay. Well, sometimes families continue the names through the family line, so maybe someone will, listening in, be able to... pick up other detail. So you've done quite a lot of work already. Just stay with us because I need to take a break for the news headlines and we'll come back to you just for some final information for anybody out there listening this morning that might be interested in this story. Now, some people are saying it's like a bit of a storm in a teacup and nothing to panic about, but it's Samsung themselves, as far as I understand it, who issued the warning. So when the company themselves do it, you got to take heed, haven't you? Now, the technology editor with the Irish Independent, Adrian Weckler, is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
Well, I just bought one 2 weeks ago. Would you believe it? I couldn't believe it. I was watching the news last night or reading somewhere that this television could possibly listen into your conversation. What's it all about?
Yeah, basically, the way these televisions work, and Samsung's not the only one, but increasingly they're experimenting with voice commands. So instead of having to use a remote control, you can literally speak out loud as to what you want your television to do, whether it's to switch channels or volume up or do something else like go to the internet and search for something. The issue is that when you speak your command, what the television does, like an iPhone or smartphone, what it does is it takes that command, tries to make sense of it into English for itself, and then it goes off and sends that command to, you know, a relevant server, like it would if you typed something in. And that's where the issue arises, because it's sending, it's often sending that information to a third party. I mean, a good example would be Google. If you want to do a Google search through your television, then the Samsung television is sending it to Google, and that's a third party. And then maybe Google uses the data for something else. So that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about the television taking your voice command and sending it off to third parties you may not be aware of. And the issue arises not when you say, okay, Samsung, I want you to do that, but in case you are talking casually yourself or among yourselves in the room and the television mistakes your conversation for a command and then goes off and starts, you know, doing things based on what it thinks is a command. It's quite a common thing. If you're on the radio, any of your listeners right now, if they have a Google Android phone, and if you or I say the word OK Google and something else, I guarantee you that at least four or five of your listeners' phones have sprung into life, because that's what happens. They're very sensitive, and they're designed to pick up on what they think are commands.
Well, you've got an app now, haven't you, that you can pull up to the radio when a song's on, and it'll actually tell you what the song is.
That was one of the first great apps of the internet, of the app era, app called Shazam. It tells you, tells you what the song is. The artist allows you to go and stream it or buy it. So it's the same kind of principle, yeah.
Now, the thing about what Samsung did yesterday is they kind of scared the living daylights out of people. Because did they go too far, do you think, by saying that people should be careful discussing personal or sensitive information in front of the television? I mean, that's a bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was oversensitive. They were indemnifying themselves to, you know, a very overcautious degree, I think. What they were trying to do is to say, look, in an extreme circumstance, something sensitive that you say might be picked up as a voice command, and that might go off and be confused for a command to do something, and some other company might end up with some sensitive information that you're talking about. I personally think the chances of that happening are pretty slim, but there have been some very clever mock-ups and juxtapositions online and on social media, on the one hand pointing out Samsung's privacy terms and conditions where it allows for this, and on the other hand, you know, the paragraph from 1984 describing how the giant panels on the wall.
Any word of Ryanair, Sean, putting on the Birmingham Today route again? We're having to fly from Stansted, and I don't like that. No word, I'm afraid. Unfortunately, I think that one's gone for a while. But you have a great stay when you're over in Donegal. Now, today is the 70th anniversary of the Royal Air Force plane that landed on the Ballymastercoker Bay on Port Salon Beach. It was a Canadian plane, actually, and it was carrying mail. Now, Dermot Boyce, who's a local from the area, is on the line now. Dermot, hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon to you, Dermot. This is the 70th anniversary of this plane that landed on the beach. It was an incredible story at the time. Now, your dad and your uncle witnessed it, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. My father and my uncle's witnessed the plane circling around for some time before it landed in a snowstorm. And they went down to see it then.
So it was obviously quite low, and it was circling, so they knew something was wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Circling fairly low, and then it landed on the beach.
Which was some You know, when you think about it, it was some achievement even to land on a beach, wasn't it? They didn't really know. They were taking a huge risk, but they'd no choice, had they?
That's right. The apparently, the captain said that he opened the bomb bay doors at the back of the plane to act as a sand scoop in order to slow the plane down as she went along the beach while she was making a belly landing.
And she was carrying mail, wasn't she?
She had 9 large mail bags on the plane. And
now, what was this about your granduncle? What
did my granduncle, he took the mail bags by horse and cart to the hotel. And he was paid a few shillings for that at the time.
Okay. Now, Tommy, how are you, Tommy?
Ah, do you know I'm grand? I'm well up in the days.
You're well up on the days. How old were you when this happened, Tommy?
Well, now, I'll tell you, it happened on, what do you say, 45 it happened.
Yeah, 1945. You were about 20, were you?
I wasn't 20, because I was born in 1927, so you can mark it up.
All right, so you,
I was thinking about 17 or 18.
Okay, so you're 88 now, are you? Or you're going to be 88?
Eh?
You're going to be 88 in April.
That's right.
So what do you remember, Tommy, about
it? I'll tell you what I do remember. I mean, I had a friend of mine, a cousin of mine over in Rogori, and he was going to catch stones down from Massman Chapel where Donald's lorry, and it was Johnny McCarnley, was the driver of the lorry at the time. Right. Went over in the morning, and it was snowing, and the ground was all white. And so the first thing then happened was that this plane started to come in for the north and from away for the Fannett area, you know.
Yeah.
And it was started to circle, and we couldn't know what it meant, because we thought at that time, you see, the Germans had threatened to land in some part in Ireland.
You thought it was the Germans coming?
We thought maybe it was them, and it was a huge brute or a plane. And it was very hard, you know, we didn't know our number, we knew nothing about her, and whatever, anyway, she circled away. And she would go down and go around the Port Salon area and right round Fannett Head and come back in Kendrum and all that sort of thing.
So when she came down, she brought down the, what, trees and wires?
She was down the back of Sarmont, Major Barton's house. She was breaking branches there, and she took the telegram wires into the shore wire.
Right.
And that was that cut off. So then I was over still at the stone business, and we stopped early because it was very bad. And then I come there to the place where she went down at the wee shore road there at the caravan park. The guards was there, and they weren't allowing nobody up the shore or up the banks.
No, because the crew they were taking to the...
crew then went to Port Salon Hotel. My father went, as soon as he heard it, he went over to see what was going on. And these, I think it was 5 or 6 men, he said, come off that plane and went down to Port Salon, and that was the end of them. They weren't seen more.
Bit of excitement, Tommy.
Eh?
It was a bit of excitement.
It was a bit of excitement, and nobody knew what it was all about. And she went down, and she never put down the wheels at all, you see.
Mm.
And she just landed on this side of the burn. She landed belly-wise, and she ploughed on up till she went to where she landed.
Okay. Well, listen, I've run out of time, and it's 70 years on, and you have a great memory for it. And, Tommy, thanks for joining us.
Oh.
All the best.
And thank you, too.
And, Dermot, thank you very much.
If it's any interest to you.
It's very interesting.
Well, no, that's the most I know, but I was young at the time, and I cared less, I suppose.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Tommy. And Dermot, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you, bye.
Time has beaten us. Take care of yourselves until tomorrow. Bye-bye. And thanks to our producer today, Kira Johnson, assisted by Caroline Orr. Bye.
It's just gone 1 o'clock. Donald Kavanagh at the Highland Radio News Desk. In this bulletin, Claire Daly says the government's position that her abortion bill is unconstitutional is a cop-out. A Donegal council engineer is to assess a house near Gortha-Horrock which was struck by a van at the weekend in the second such incident in less than 3 years. The North's Deputy First Minister says he will not be silenced after he was warned of a threat to kill him with a rocket launcher. The Suicide Crisis Assessment Nurse Service is being implemented in Donegal on a pilot basis, and there are calls for a review of Donegal County Council's winter gritting programme with claims that many important routes are being excluded from it. And in a few moments, at 1:15, we'll have all the sports news with Oisín Kelly. The Suicide Crisis Assessment Nurse Service is being implemented in Donegal on a pilot basis. The service allows GPs refer patients they believe to be at risk of suicide or self-harm to a specially trained nurse who will offer an assessment to the patient within 48 hours. The service is being implemented in a number of GP practices on a pilot basis from Mondays to Fridays, with the intention of implementing it on a countywide basis with the appointment of a second scan nurse. Kevin Mills is Area Director of Nursing for the Donegal Mental Health Service. He says this is a very important initiative.
A new development for Donegal Mental Health Services, and as part of a national clinical care programme about addressing the whole issue of self-harm and suicidal ideation. The SCAN service, the abbreviation stands for the Suicide Crisis Assessments Nurse. It allows the GP direct access to a specialist person who exclusively works with presentations with suicidal ideation or self-harm. If someone presents to the GP today and the GP is worried, they can ring a number, speak to a person who will offer the patient an assessment within 48 hours. They will ring them within 24 hours and hopefully max an assessment within 48 hours.
This is through the GP service, as you've said. Is there a potential that this may become self-referral?
No, not at present, Donald, because I think it's important that we keep our GP colleagues in primary healthcare very much in the loop of we're looking at the whole model of mental health and we're trying to dispel the myths around mental health. Then it's important that the GP would know of the presentation. We're piloting across some GPs in the county to see what kind of uptake of the services is, and does that service make a meaningful difference?
It would be your hope then, we take it, that this would be spread out across the whole county and eventually all GPs can avail of it.
Absolutely. I think we will be monitoring the uptake across the GP practices in question and taking the feedback from the GPs, taking the feedback from the individuals who present, and where possible build capacity across the county in response to our total package of care to try and support people in distress around self-harm and suicidal ideation.
Kevin Mills, the Director of Nursing with the Mental Health Service in Donegal. The time on Highland Radio is 1:10.
Well, a very good afternoon to you. It's Gary Gamble with you on Highland Radio, taking you right through to 3:30 today with the best of country and classics. And we've also got a teaser coming your way, another Tuesday teaser for you after 2 o'clock this afternoon. And a great old country music goodie bag up for grabs. Starting off the show today, we're there with Susan McCann, taken from her album Rockin' Country. That's a country medley today. All the favourites in there: Snowbird, As You Hear, Blanket on the Ground, and 57 Chevrolet, and many more. Good afternoon to you. Dedications and requests today, 074-915-5000 is the number if you want to give us a call. Maureen's taking your calls, and the text number is 086-770-0055. If you wish, you can pop those emails across to me, garygamble@highlandradio.com.
She said, I'm going out with my girlfriends. Margarita's at the Holiday Inn.
You're listening to Gary Gamble in the Afternoon on Highland Radio.
I need water for my horses. That's John Dolan there today from Off the Cuff, local lad here in Donegal. And play that especially for David, Pamela and all the crew over there at Inch today. Good afternoon to you all. Happy birthday to Alice McGowan in Aranmore Island. And this one's from Shelley and Riley today. Lots of big kisses in there for you, Alice. Hello to you. And also got to say hello and a happy 8th birthday today to Cassie O'Donnell Boner in Letterkenny. Enjoy your day, Cassie. 8 today. Big hugs and kisses from Shelley and Riley, and a big fan of...
Hello, me. I want to say hello to my daddy, Kieran Coy. I love him.
Listen to that. You love your daddy.
Tell him it's opening and closing an egg carton.
It's opening and closing an egg carton box.
Who came up with that one for you?
Mommy.
It's the right answer. Congratulations, you won 220 euro.
You won 220 euro. Hello. Where are you, Lee?
What are you going to do with the money? Can you treat yourself with it?
I can't, Lee, because it has been a week where everything has broken down. The heat has broken down. The shower has broken down. It's going to come on very handy.
Well, you put it to good use.
Thank you so much, Lee.
Congratulations to Anita and Colm Coyle, Killygarden. Secret Sound, Monday to Friday, 4 p.m.
The Secret Sound.
Jessie J, Nicki Minaj and Bang Bang. Oh yeah, so day three of Secret Sound. We've got John McGrenner on line one. John, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm very well. Try well enough for that nice day.
I hear you're doing a bit of painting today, John. You painting a fence or a house or what are you doing?
A house.
A house, are you finished yet?
Nearly.
Good man. Do you do the cutting in first bits or do you do the big main spread of the walls? What's your painting technique?
My painting technique?
Yes.
I'll cover the furniture and the floors.
Well, that's a good start.
That's it. And left all the ornaments.
See, if I didn't cover the furniture, you see, I'd have everything splattered with paint. You see.
That's why you'd need me.
See, that's it, John. Well, John, it's day three of Secret Sound. What do you think it is? What do you think it is?
Well, I think it's the closing of a dustpan lid.
Closing of a dustbin, then. It's the wrong answer, John.
Oh, no.
I know.
Can you tell me?
I can't tell you just now, John. You'll have to listen in. Cheers, John. Good luck with the painting, my friend. Good luck to you. That's John McGrenner. We have PJ McCauley. PJ, what do you think the answer is?
Is it opening and closing the cupboard door?
It's a simple answer. Opening and closing a cupboard door. We all have cupboards in the house somewhere, or the workplace. PJ, that's the wrong answer.
God.
I know. What do you have today anyway, PJ?
The sheep are lambing and all that.
Is the sheep lambing? Have you many sheep lambing out at the minute?
Aye, plenty.
How many is plenty?
About 50 or 60.
That's a lot of work. And do you help out with that, PJ, do you?
Aye.
Very good. No bother to you. You're going to be a vet then when you grow up, are you?
No.
All right then, PJ. Best luck with all the lambing.
Right, bye.
Cheers, boy. Good luck to you. He's got his work cut out. We have Taylor on line one. Taylor, what do you think the answer is?
Is it a fridge opening or closing?
Oh, Taylor, I would love to say it's the right answer, but thank you so much for calling in. Taylor, it's the wrong answer. Thank you, Taylor, and from Letterkenny. There you have it. It's a wrap today on Secret Sound. Back again tomorrow, and it's day four. Thanks for all your calls.
The Secret Sound giveaway on Drive Time.
August a fall to Rovishja, Kata and Argojitan Shah, Cahal O'Curran, August Mave, Nigel of Regia, August Akul and Rivera and Shin, Ta Kiva Bratna, August, and then your journey to Emer Nihol, Anish. To my yoga, Toshud Lapisa Kyol, Mar Chinati Hanak Shivama, so could you and Tanya Matur a kid piece of Toshiv Kunayan?
Shah would end the Vanyam uncertain and answered, I guess, would end Anish Evasement to Kyol and in Saharan, I get Comor to score the Nog of Asa City West and Manya Clea.
Okay, Amor, Soki Gilov, and we're Nam here. Tá íta jazz ar fad an cranog bios a studio le me chandún an áil ansin agus léirú a dóid an seanáir ansin agus na jazz an cóchio agus bé an cranog bé sib se ag glacú páirt sa bé se fi dhéna onadí orta don don chlub coma lúch le scéal tam a dhéna agen comórtas a creif báutid an comórtas scórn an óg jas áhann seo maile a clí anna bé
sé tan comórtas a tásir ar tríhlog agus Tá daine bhain eile súúpa fás an bhil an seo Harbí
Clóda sé bhí
sé clóda ní áhair sí tréine le forin du an áil so sí gobar go dtíana leis an ar an fásta
sin mé sin amáid agus bhí sé gcónaí tá maith go pheal scibhlam sí gamar tir ar an scoil lonaí agus ní roma deabalta an leabhan uachtar a áil ar a bhain bhí sé gamar bhí méid an roblóid agus fear eile ó gcídóir na stomach smaintúir